Evolutionism is not an option for the Christian. And divine creation is not an optional doctrine that one can take or leave. It is the beginning that has within it the end. It provides the foundation for redemption and ultimately for new creation. How can we know this great foundational truth? Our text today tells us, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The unbelieving world laughs at this. They view faith as an irrational cop-out by gullible believers who reject science. The truth is that biblical faith is not irrational. It simply recognizes the limits of unaided human reason and depends upon God to reveal to us what we could never discover for ourselves, including the world's origins. Now, I would like to do three things in our message this morning. First, I want to look closely at this verse to see what it tells us faith can know about creation. Second, I want to use this verse as a starting point for a brief overview of the biblical teaching on the Word of God and creation. And third, I want to reflect upon how this verse relates to what follows in Hebrews chapter 11. So our three-part outline will be, first of all, faith and creation. Secondly, the Word as creator. And thirdly, creation in the context of Hebrews 11. Faith and creation, the Word as creator, and creation in the context of Hebrews 11. Hopefully, this will help us see the big picture in which divine creation is both prominent and vitally important. So we begin with faith and creation. Now, when we get to verse 3 in chapter 11, we've recently heard about some who had faith. We know from chapter 10, 38, that the just live by faith. And from chapter 11, verse 2, we know that by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. So when our author begins verse 3 saying, by faith we understand, he both unites himself with his readers, saying we, and he also unites them together with those who are the just and those who were approved as elders because of their faith. Like them, the author of Hebrews and his readers have faith and live by it. Could be Paul. This then sets the stage for the rest of the chapter that speaks not of the reader's faith, but of the faith of various saints in the Old Testament. Now, when these readers hear, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, etc., they know that they themselves also live by that same faith. It is something they have in common with those heroes and heroines. This chapter, known as the Hall of Faith, is ultimately a call to faith, a call to live on the basis of faith, just like those of old whose faith is praised. Now, his readers already live this way, and he proceeds to give an instance of how they do so. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, in verse 1, he had written, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the phrase hoped for has a decidedly future orientation, and much of this chapter looks forward to the future fulfillment of God's promises to his people. But as we noted last week, things not seen can refer not only to the future, but also to the past and to the unseen realm of heaven and heaven's agents. Before our author shifts to focus on the future, he begins with an unseen thing in the past, and that is the creation of the world. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, the word translated worlds is the plural noun eons. It could be translated ages, in which case it would speak of God sovereignly determining the various ages of redemptive history. But here it parallels the things which are seen later in the verse and seems to be a reference to the visible universe. And it was used this way in chapter 1, verse 2. By faith, we know that the universe was framed by the Word of God. Now, of this word framed, John Owen notes, the word here used does nowhere signify the original production of anything, but the ordering, disposing, fitting, perfecting, or adorning of that which is produced. Now, the making of all things is expressly stated in the second half of the verse. But what framing tells us is that God not only made all things, but he also set them in a beautiful order that reveals his glory and serves the needs of his creatures. If the world began formless and void, it did not remain that way. God ordered and framed it so that man would declare, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Our world did not reach its present ordered state by blind evolution of time plus matter plus chance. No, God framed all that he created, disposing it to his glory and his creature's good. This took place by the word of God. Now, we're going to come back to this in our second point, but we note at this point that this phrase takes us back to God's repeated commands in creation. Let there be. Recall the teaching of our shorter catechism. Question 9 asks, what is the work of creation? And the answer is, the work of creation is God making all things of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. God powerfully spoke all things into existence. He did not merely rearrange pre-existing matter. And that's the point of the second half of our verse. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And this distinguishes God's creative ability from our own. We exercise creativity when we take elements of creation, work with them, and arrange them to produce works of value and of beauty. But we need raw materials to work with. God, on the other hand, created raw materials out of nothing and then worked with them and framed them in beautiful ways. Now, this is clearly a statement of faith dealing with things not seen. While we can presently see the world all around us, we cannot see the world's creation. It is in the past, and we were not there to witness it. Yahweh drove this point home to Job in a very powerful way. I'm going to read from Job 38, beginning with verse 1. Then Yahweh answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? And God goes on to question Job like this for 4 chapters. And I think he would ask the same question of evolutionists in our day. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. And if they were honest, they would have to say with Job from Job 42:3, therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Now, science is a good enterprise. It is rooted in God's commission for man to explore the world and subdue it. But scientists exceed their arena of competence when they reason from what is presently observable to explain origins without reference to God. Like Job, they were not there and are dependent upon God to know what happened. When they reject that divine revelation, they are left spinning fables in which they place their faith. You see, the choice is not faith or reason. The choice is faith in human reason alone or faith in divine revelation. When it comes to unseen things like the origin of the universe, faith in divine revelation is most rational. That is the case even when that revelation seems counter to human reason. The ancients had a saying, ex nihilo nihil fit, out of nothing, nothing comes. But by faith, we believe in creatio ex nihilo, creation out of nothing. Or as the author of Hebrews puts it, the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We may reasonably believe this, not because we can observe it or replicate it in a laboratory, but because God has revealed it to us. We understand it by faith. Faith, then, is key to understanding the truth of creation. But now I'd like to focus more narrowly on that phrase, by the Word of God. And that brings us to our second point, the Word as Creator. As I mentioned earlier, when we encounter the statement by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Our minds go back to God's creative speech in Genesis 1. And the repetition stands out. Then God said, let there be light. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Then God said, let the waters under heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth. Then God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Each time God said, let there be, the text goes on to say, and there was. From nothing, he spoke the world into existence. God's word is creative. Now, the Bible progressively reveals God to us. That is to say, we learn more and more about God's nature and being the further along we read in Scripture. Now, the germ of God's triune nature is there in the let us of Genesis 1:26. But that seed would not bear full fruit until the coming of Christ recorded in the New Testament. Only then do we learn that the Son is the creative Word of God. Let me read again from our gospel lesson, John chapter 1. Let me read the first three verses. They begin with the very same words as Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. John tells us that the Word was God, and was the agent of creation. All things were made through Him. And it was this divine, creative Word who became flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus. The creative Word is also the revealing Word. John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. He has spoken of Him. Now, God in heaven is among the unseen things to us. Only the Son has seen the Father, so only the Son can reveal the Father to us. The author of Hebrews introduces both the creative and revealing work of the Son in the opening words of his book. Hebrews begins, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. The Son, the Word, through whom all things were created, speaks to us of the unseen God and of His plans for the world. I fear we easily miss and forget the Christocentric, the Christ-centered nature of creation. And to the extent that we do so, it is to our loss. Listen to Paul's exalted hymn to Christ in Colossians 1. I'm going to read Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20. The verses immediately before this were our statement of assurance of pardon today, speaking of the Son of His love. And speaking of the Son of God's love, Paul goes on to say, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He is the image of the invisible God. So you see, in Jesus, we have a revelation of the unseen God. All things were created through him and for him. You see, the Son is both the agent of creation and the end of creation. In him, all things consist. That is, all things hold together. The Son who created this world also sustains it. And by him, God will reconcile all things to himself. The agent of the original creation is also the agent of the new creation. So we come back to Hebrews. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And we know this means that by faith, we understand the worlds were created by the Son, who will also one day bring about a new creation. Now this brings us to our third point, creation in the context of Hebrews 11. As then God said is a refrain in Genesis 1, so by faith is a refrain in Hebrews 11. We heard it in our verse today, but if we continue on in the chapter, by faith Abel, verse 4, by faith Enoch, verse 5, by faith Noah, verse 7, by faith Abraham, verse 8, by faith Sarah, verse 11, by faith Abraham, verse 17, by faith Isaac, verse 20, by faith Jacob, verse 21, by faith Joseph, verse 22, by faith Moses, verse 23, by faith the harlot Rahab, verse 31. Now, if you've listened closely to all those names, you may have recognized that they are given in chronological order. They begin with Abel, the son of Adam and Eve. And it is chronologically appropriate that the reference to creation appears immediately before this rehearsal of Israel's history. You see, God's work of creation provided the stage upon which he would enact his work of redemption. But we can say more about the place of creation in Hebrews 11. The author establishes up front the amazing power of God shown in creation from nothing. This act of God relating to unseen things in the past serves to assure us that God will bring to pass all those promised things that are unseen because they are still in the future. They were future to Abraham and the Old Testament saints, and they are future to us. Let's glance ahead briefly to the middle of this chapter, and I'll read verses 13 through 16. After speaking of some of these people who live by faith, the author says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Like God's people of old, we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. While we enjoy all that God gives us here and now, we know that we still suffer. And we know that something better is coming in the there and then. The saints of old not only lived by faith, but as verse 13 tells us, they also died in faith. They died with the assurance that God would bring all his promises to fruition in a way that exceeded all the earthly blessings that they had experienced in life. Faith in God's original creative work by his word gives us great assurance for his recreative work yet to come by that same word. As John Owen remarks, faith, well fixed on the original of all things as made out of nothing, will bear us out in belief of the final restitution of our bodies at the resurrection. If God created all things out of nothing, Is he not able and powerful to fulfill his promise to recreate things, including granting us resurrection bodies? The Word created all things out of nothing in the space of 6 days. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us to reveal his Father to us. The incarnate Word offered himself upon the cross for our sins, was raised from the dead for our justification, and ascended to heaven as our high priest and king. And the Word is coming again in glory to bring to fruition the new creation that began with his resurrection. Brothers and sisters, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. To believe this revelation of creation in Scripture, rather than evolutionism, is to find Christ at the heart of creation, both old and new. It is to align your life with God's purposes, and it is one more way for you to look to Jesus and live in hope. Let us pray.